Amen. 1st of December. Can you believe it? Christmas season is in high gear. Are you ready for it? This is the season of gift giving. And for us as Christians, we know that it's a celebration for us, isn't it? At this time of the year, we celebrate the greatest gift that's ever been given. The most important gift, the gift of Jesus Christ who came to be our Savior. And the salvation that He's provided us. The salvation that's a gift from God. And so we'll rejoice and praise God and bless Him as we consider that wonderful gift. The Bible teaches that every day is a gift from God. Did you know that? Every day that we are given as an opportunity to live our lives is a gift from God. It's a present. And we're to unwrap each day like a present that's been given to us from God. And the Bible's very urgent on this. It tells us that as Christians, we should serve God every day. Every single day, which is a gift to us, we should walk with God. We should serve Him. We should have Him be first place. That is what we should be up to as Christians every day. And you know, as Christians, we talk a lot of times about serving God every day, but let's not forget that every day includes today. Right now, at this very moment in your life, no matter what circumstance you're facing, today is the time to serve God. As Christians, it can be tempting sometimes for us to, make excuses. We might decide that we're going to put our walk with the Lord on hold for whatever reason. Depending upon what circumstance in life we might be facing. I've heard some Christians say, well, I will serve God with all of my heart once I graduate from high school. Having too much fun right now. Or once I graduate from college. Some Christians might be tempted to say, I will serve God after I make my first million. After the business gets going, you see, I'm busy right now, but once that all gets taken care of, then I'll serve God later. Or I'll serve God when I retire. I'll have more time then. Here's a popular excuse that I used to hear a lot when I was single. Some Christians have said, I'll serve God later when I get married. You ever heard that one? You see, right now I'm single, I'm incomplete, I'm lonely. I'm looking for my mate, I'm looking for my spouse, and so I'll serve God when that need gets taken care of. Or some Christians might even be tempted to say, I'll serve God later after I get healed. I have this sickness right now, you see, this illness. I don't have the strength, I'm not able to, so I can't serve God wholeheartedly right now. I'll wait till later. Is that what the Bible teaches? No. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we should serve God right now. Today, no matter what circumstance in life you're in. No need to wait. It seems that at the church in Corinth, there were some Christians there that were putting limits on a person's service to Christ or walk with the Lord. Apparently, there were some that were putting one service on Christian living and spirituality. They were making that dependent upon things like marital status. You have to wait till you're married. Or they were making it dependent upon their racial ties or their social ties or their economic status, some sort of life circumstance. And Paul tells them here in this passage, all of that stuff is absolutely irrelevant. You're to serve God right now. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17.
But as God is distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Guys, this is a very important principle, something that you really need to understand, especially those of you who are brand new believers. Maybe you've just come to Christ. You've just given your life to Christ and you're starting your Christian walk. You need to understand that when you became a Christian, that did not mean that at that point you had to make a radical break with your current life circumstance. When you become a Christian, that doesn't mean that you have to change your life circumstance. Not all of that. There are certain things about your life that you shouldn't seek to change even when you become a Christian. But rather, you should face certain life circumstances as a changed person. Paul in this passage says to these Corinthian Christians, you need to stay put in your calling, in that state in which you were called. Look at verse 17 again. As God is distributed to each one, as the Lord is called each one, so let him walk. In other words, when you became a Christian, you were in a certain situation, in a certain life circumstance. You don't need to change that circumstance. Paul says, stay there and be a different person. Walk with God in that circumstance. Look down at verse 20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. So you're going about your life. You've gotten involved in a life circumstance, a situation. You get saved. You become a Christian. Paul would say there's some things about your life that should stay the same. You don't need to break from these certain things. You need to stay in that situation as a changed person. Look at verse 24. He says it again. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Again, you become a Christian. There's a life circumstance that you shouldn't seek to change. Rather, you should seek to be a changed person in that state. See, the Bible teaches that when you become a Christian, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, God changes you radically. You become born again. You become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything about you changes. There's a revolution that takes place in your life. A transformation. That's what changes. There's certain things about your life at the time that you become a Christian that you shouldn't seek to change. Understand that you've changed. Example. You're not saved and you're married. And you're married to a non-believer. Well, you go to a church service and you get saved. You become a Christian. That's your life circumstance. Now, just because you became a Christian doesn't mean you can leave your non-believing spouse. Oh, I got saved. Bye. You can't walk out. That's a life circumstance that you can't change. You need to remain in that. You were called as a Christian with that in mind, with that as a substantial part of your life. You can't leave it. God would say, I'm going to change you radically. And then I'm going to use you radically in that same situation. Or say you're a non-believer and you become the CEO of a really awesome business. You come to a church service, you get saved, you become a Christian. Now, just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you need to close the business, quit, leave, do something radical, make a radical break. No, what God would say is you can stay in that very situation, but I'm going to make you a changed CEO. You're going to be different, radically different. Or you get saved and you're a part of a family where there's no believers. When you become a Christian in a situation like that, you're not supposed to leave your family. Bye. I'm saved now. I'll never talk to you again. See you later. No. Paul would say, stay, remain in that life circumstance as a changed person. You got it? He gives examples here. Verse 18. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. If a Jewish male becomes a Christian, does that person need to undo his circumcision in order to serve Christ? No. If a Gentile man becomes a Christian, does that person have to go out and get circumcised in order to serve Christ? No. Doesn't matter. It's an external thing. They've become Christians. They're changed there. In those days, slavery was huge in the Roman Empire. Many, many, many people, in fact, most of the population in that day were slaves. Look what it says about slavery there in verse 21. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. So you're a slave. You give your life to Christ. You get changed. Do you have to wait until you become free to serve Christ? Paul says no. If you can get your freedom, go for it, but you don't need to be concerned about it. See, I've made you a changed person. In the position of a slave, and I'd like to use you there. You get saved as a white-collar worker. Big deal. You get saved as a blue-collar worker. Big deal. Do you have to wait till you change any type of status? No. The whole point is you can serve God right now in any life circumstance that you find yourself, and if you're delaying and if you're waiting, then you're out of line. Serve Christ right now. In fact, look at verse 17 again. It says, as God is distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. It's almost like God has called certain people at key times in their life to belong to Him in a certain situation. And to run from that situation and to think you need to break with it, man, God wants to use you right in the midst of that situation. The point is, you don't need to change your life circumstance. What is important is you need to understand you become different. And God wants to use you in that circumstance. So important. I would exhort anyone here tonight who has put their walk with the Lord on hold. Listen, for whatever reason. I got to get married. Got to graduate. Got this business. Too much to do. Serve God right now. Go for it right now. In that circumstance. And don't feel like you have to run from a circumstance. God wants to use you there. You know, if all of us who got saved, if we all became Christians and we decided we all wanted to change our circumstance, leave life, exit life, and go live in a monastery, what good would we be to the world? You know what the greatest miracle is? Is when God takes a person at a place in life, transforms that person miraculously, and then uses that person in amazing ways right in the same situation. I believe that God has us where He does for a reason. And I believe that God wants to use us right now. By the way, this passage does not teach that a Christian should stay in a wicked profession when they come to Christ. For instance, if you're a drug dealer and you give your life to Christ, you're not supposed to remain. You can't go out and start a drug dealers for Christ ministry or anything like that. No, you got to get out of the drug dealing business. Or if you're involved in prostitution or something like that and you get saved, obviously you would leave that type of a lifestyle. But other than that, there are certain life circumstances that you should stay in and not seek to change unless the Lord changes it for you. And that can be a tough thing. One of my best friends in life, high school and college, just a great friend of mine. We grew up together, and his dad was a vice president at Coors. Kind of a horrible thing to have a high school friend with a vice president, a father who's a vice president at Coors. He got all the Coors stuff. And this guy had a bright future with Coors. When we were in New Mexico State, he was the Coors rep. And he was going to go a long ways within Coors. He ended up getting saved. He gave his life to Christ. And he started going to church. And I'll never forget the first time he came to a Baptist Sunday school with me. He didn't have any clothes that didn't say Coors on it. So he came to a Sunday school. Coors hat, Coors jacket he took off, and there's a Coors sweater underneath. And if he would have taken off his Coors sweater, he'd have a Coors shirt. And I'll never forget how he was looked over at church. Whoa. But that's all he had, you see. We got a buzz up here. Can you guys hear that? Why don't you see if you can turn this down? Or just turn the monitor off. Just turn that off. There we go. Can you hear me though? Now you can, yeah, you can hear me. Good. But you should have seen, it put my friend in a real dilemma. You know, now he wants to serve God, and he really struggled with that. Should I go forward with that? Should I be involved in that? And for a time, he did. He went into the distributorships and whatnot and started to even walk the ladder. But finally, at one point, my friend said, you know what? I just can't be involved in this as a Christian. And I was so proud of him. I admired him. He made a real gutsy call. He said, I'm going to quit this job and I'm going to do something else. And you know what? The Lord has truly blessed him as a result. Right now, today, he's a strong Christian man, has a Christian family, and the Lord has blessed him with a 6-figure income job in a different sort of venue. God has really blessed him. So, those types of decisions can be hard, but you make the right decisions. And please understand that God wants to use you wherever you might be. So important. Don't wait. Don't make any excuses. Those of you who were with us last week, you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is about marriage, actually. And it's about singleness and celibacy. Marital status. And now Paul will apply this principle to marriage, to singleness. Those of you who are single, what you should do. Those of you who are married, what you should do. Is there a difference between those who are single and married as far as their service unto the Lord, etc.? Now, Paul says you should serve the Lord no matter where you are. Let's see how he applies this. Look at verse 25, chapter 7. Now, concerning virgins, that is, concerning those who have never been married, whether male or female. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in His mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Now, this throws a lot of people off who read this part of the chapter. Because you're going to see that in this chapter, in the remainder of the chapter, Paul strongly recommends and encourages single people to stay single. He says if you're single and you become a Christian, Paul's recommendation and his encouragement here is for you to stay single. And he says it throughout this chapter. If you've never been married, he says, you're single. Stay single. Verse 27, are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. If you're married, that's great. Stay married, that's obvious. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. If you're single, stay the same. Remain there. Don't get married. In those days, fathers gave away daughters in marriage. And you're going to see later on in the chapter that Paul even says, fathers, don't give away your daughters in marriage. Let them stay single right now. He will even say the same to those who have been widowed. Their spouse has died. You become single, you were married, your spouse died, and now you're single. And Paul will say, my advice to you, I strongly recommend to you, the surviving spouse, stay single. Don't get married. Now, this really takes people off guard. But there's something that you need to understand, and it's very important about this passage. This is a recommendation. It's not a commandment. This is an inspired recommendation. It's not an inspired command. In fact, in verse 25, he says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. Now, when Paul says that, what he's saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ never specifically addressed this issue in his public ministry. And I would go further. Paul is saying this is not a commandment. This is my recommendation. This is my encouragement. This is what I would recommend to a single person. For whatever reason, stay single. The other thing you need to understand here, and this is key. This is key to understanding this passage. Paul is recommending that the single people stay single for a specific reason that applied to that church in Corinth at that time only. Very important to understand. Look at verse 28. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. There was something going on or about to happen at the church in Corinth that caused Paul to counsel them to stay single. Don't get married. There was a present distress. And that word distress in the Greek is very strong. A calamity. A trouble. Something very, very difficult was about to take place at the church in Corinth. And so Paul recommended that people stay single. It was persecution. The Christians at that time were about to experience one of the most brutal acts of persecution that's ever been seen against the church. It's right at that part. Right at about 70 AD, there's going to be a Roman emperor by the name of Nero. He's going to come on the scene and he's going to persecute the church, killing Christians in brutal, horrible ways. This guy was crazy. This guy fed Christians to the lions. He would take cows, cut them open, gut them, pull all of their innards out. Put Christians inside the skins live. Sew them sort of up, seal them together, put them out there and set the wild dogs loose. The lions. Nero torched Christians, he burnt them alive, and he used them as human torches to light up his gardens at night. Nero would split up families, Christian families, the husband from the wife. Nero would kill the kids. Nero would rape, make it possible so that the wives would be raped in the presence of the husband and then killed. Very, very gross, horrible things were about to take place for the Christians there in Corinth. And Paul says specifically, in light of that present distress, I recommend that you stay single. That's what you have to understand when you read this chapter. Persecution is tough. Persecution, like I've just explained, is really tough. What kind of persecution do we get here in America? But persecution like that is tough. But it's even tougher when you have family ties. Wouldn't you agree? You could stand up and say, kill me. I'll be a martyr for Christ. But what if they have your kids there and say, let's kill them? You see, those family roots, it can make it so much harder. The time was such that Paul recommended that those who were single stay single. If you're going to be single, I want you to remain single at that time. And even then, Paul says, though, if you choose to marry, you haven't sinned, but I would spare you trouble, he says. That's an important thing to understand about marriage. And those of you who are single, let me just talk to you for just a moment. It's important that you think marriage through before you say, I do. If you're a Christian, I don't think you should get married just out of romantic lovey-dovey feelings or sex appeal or have it all be a matter of emotion and feelings. You need to think through. You should ask one another, is this the right time? Are the times right? Do we have the right goals? Will we have the proper financial resources? You should think through things like that before you get married. You know, it's easier to get married here in America than it is to get a driver's license. And that's why here at the church we've kind of established a premarital program to where at least we can get couples before they get married to think it through. Is this the right time? Think through the things that you're going to face as a married couple. Paul here, in his looking at the times in which they live and the surroundings, said, this isn't a good time to get married. So just something to think through. I throw that out to you as single people. Don't rush. Don't rush in. Don't think, I'll be single forever. Trust the Lord and think through it. But Paul would say, if you do get married or if you are single, either way, you're to serve the Lord right now. If you are married, you will serve the Lord. What he says there in verse 29 to married couples. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world is not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Clearly, Paul would say to the married couples at the church in Corinth, serve the Lord right now. And that would be what he would say to us as married couples here tonight. Whatever your marital situation is, married to a believer, married to a non-believer, serve the Lord right now. Oh, but my kids are young. They take too much. No, serve the Lord right now as a married couple. By the way, it does say the time is short so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. That's been abused by some husbands in the ministry. They'll say, hey, Scripture tells me I need to act like I don't even have a wife. It doesn't say that. No Christian man is to neglect their wife. No Christian wife is to neglect their husband. What is being said there is that our priority always, our priority relationship is always what relationship? Our one with Jesus Christ. And His work, we are always to be committed to His work. And so again, I tell you, when you're dating, talk through these things. You want to marry somebody who wants to serve the Lord with you. You want that companionship. You want that teamwork. Serve the Lord. Those of you who are married to non-believers, you need to serve the Lord even right now, even as limited as it might be, but you still need to serve the Lord. To the single, he would say the same thing in verse 32. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I might put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Those of you who are single, Paul would say to you, serve the Lord. Don't use that excuse. I need to wait till I find my spouse. I need to wait till I get married. No, serve the Lord. And it's very clear here in this passage. Paul says if you're single, you're privileged. You're in a privileged state. Because right now, you can serve the Lord totally free and totally mobile. It says, those who are married have to care about things of the world. Why? Right? And we do. We have to take care of the needs of the family. We have responsibilities. There are obligations. Those things aren't wrong. They're good. Every Christian parent, every Christian wife and husband should do that. But if you're single, you don't have those obligations. You're freer. You're more mobile. You can serve the Lord wholeheartedly. You're absolutely free. And single person, I want you to know tonight, that's a privilege and you should use it.
Don't sit around moping.
Serve the Lord with the extra freedom you have. It is. It is harder to serve the Lord. Let me give you a real tangible example. Kim and I, we love the Lord. And we serve the Lord together. And it's our desire to serve the Lord.
Now, going to church, if Kim and I were single, oh, it'd be really easy to get to church. Right? I mean, all you do is just make sure you're ready, get in the car and go. It'd be easy. No problem. No constraints. But we're married and we have 3 children. Getting to church is a process. It's a process. It's slower. We had to get a minivan to make it easier. Now it's not just getting ourselves dressed, but it's also getting these 3 little kids dressed, getting them all ready, hair comb, teeth brush, everything on, shoes on the right feet. And then invariably, we always get in the van, and right as we're backing out the driveway, one of the kids, oh, I have to go to the bathroom now. And so then you have to stop the van, and you wait, and they get out, and they go in, and then they need drinks, and then they need this or that. Listen, those of you who are single, you don't have that. You are freer to serve Christ. Understand that and use that. If you're a single person here tonight, I challenge you to go to every mission trip, every short-term mission trip that you can. I challenge you to be a part of serving the Lord in any possible way that you can. Be open. Go for it. This is why Paul, by the way, preferred being single. Because he was totally mobile and he could serve the Lord. You know, Paul doesn't strike me as a guy who liked nesting. I don't think Christian women there were attracted to Paul. Boy, I think he wants to settle down. Can you imagine being married to a guy like Paul the Apostle? You just read some of the books, some of the testimonies on John Wesley and what his wife went through. Or D.L. Moody. Or some of these guys that served Christ and traveled extensively. So, take advantage of being single. Follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Is being single and celibate more spiritual than being married? It is not. Look at verse 34. It says, the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. Some people take that to mean that the single woman is more holy in body and spirit. No. Marriage is good. Marriage is holy. All that's saying is that she's able to be more set apart because her body and spirit is dedicated only to the Lord. There's no spouse. There's no other care. So again, whether you're married or single, they're both good. And in both cases, you serve the Lord. But the single person, you have a lot of benefit. You have a lot of advantage to that. And by the way, most of my friends, when they were single, most of them met their friends when they met their wives when they were actively serving the Lord. I didn't have too many friends
who found their wife just by sitting around. They were serving the Lord. They were actively involved in ministry. Important. God would have us serve Him in any situation that we find ourselves. By the way, again in verse 35, look what Paul says concerning this. I want to point this out. And this I say for your own profit, not that I might put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Again, all of this is a recommendation. Do you understand that? It's not a commandment. And Paul, in fact, goes out of his way to say, I don't want to put a leash on anybody. Meaning, I'm not commanding anybody to be single. I'm not commanding anybody to be married. This is my suggestion at this time, but I don't want to put a leash on you. And by the way, it's interesting how in church history, we sort of put a leash on that. I mean, think about it. Think about it with the Roman Catholic Church and how they insist that every clergy member must be single and celibate. Why? Wasn't intended to be in stone like that. And then you go to the Protestant side of the house, and I've noticed this. In Protestant churches, they're more prone to elevate the married state. In fact, many churches, I mean, if somebody wants to go and be a part of leadership at a church or be on staff at a leadership, the first question they'll ask are you married? And if you're not married, they won't hire you. Or they won't take you. You got to be married. You got to have experience in order to be in the ministry. So I guess that church would turn away the Apostle Paul. It's not intended to put a leash on anything. And remember, there's giftedness that we talked about last week. Some are gifted to be single. Others are gifted to be married. Nobody's more spiritual than anybody else, depending upon their marital status. And we're all called to serve God equally in whatever state we might be. Paul closes the thought by talking about the father with his daughter. Verse 36, but if any man thinks he's behaving improperly toward his virgin, that is his virgin daughter, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and is so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. Again, Paul recommends that at that time, at that church, going through that circumstance, that fathers would not give away their daughters in marriage at that time. But even if they do, it's not a sin. Verse 39 covers the widow. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. Same deal. If you were married and your spouse died, Paul would recommend that you would stay single. You'll be happier. You'll be freer. But again, if you do marry, it's not a sin. Just make sure you marry someone in the Lord. Right? A Christian. So, whether you're a free man or a slave, whether you're circumcised or you're uncircumcised, whether you're married or unmarried, blue collar or white collar, Hispanic, Anglo, whatever,
your life circumstance, serve God right now. That's the exhortation. That's what I would exhort you tonight. There's another reason why you should serve God right now, very quickly, and I close with this. Look back up at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep. That's another reason why we should serve the Lord today. The time is short. We don't have much time. Let's not waste time. The time is short, Christian, in the sense that Jesus Christ can come again at any time for us. His return is imminent. He could come tomorrow. He could come as we're driving home. The time is short. Serve Him now. Even if He doesn't come back in our lifetime, did you know that our life is short anyways? We're a vapor, aren't we? Compared to eternity, we got just this small, just this little sliver of time right now to serve the Lord. And so serve Him right now. Serve Him today. Understanding that your time is short. How many of you wait to shop for Christmas till Christmas Eve? Oh, you're in trouble. The sooner Christmas comes, the sooner we know it's here, we know we got to get shopping and we got to get those gifts, right? Understand that Christ could come at any time. Serve Him right now. The time is short. And the other reason that we need to serve God right now is because serving God is what matters the most. It's what will last. Verse 30. Paul says, let those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world is not misusing it. Watch this. For the form of this world is passing away. That's why you want to serve the Lord right now. Because serving the Lord is what lasts for all of eternity. If you're serving this world and the things of this world, you're serving something that is passing away. Paul says, the form of this world is passing away. That's taken from the Greek language, from the theater world. The scene is changing. The curtain is about to come down, and there's going to be a brand new scene, and that scene is eternity. And don't spend all your time and being distracted by those things in life that you buy, those things in this world that you use, those things in this world that cause you to weep, those things in this world that cause you to rejoice. All those things of the world, they're passing away. There's a whole new scene coming. Serve Christ right now, because your service for Christ will be rewarded in all of eternity. Don't be distracted. Bible's urgent. And I want you to know tonight, my brother and sister in Christ, wherever you might be, I just want you to know that God is absolutely delighted to use you right now. In your current situation. And there's no need to wait. He's delighted to use you. In fact, there's really only one word that you need to be concerned about when it comes to serving the Lord. Are you available? Are you available? Notice I didn't say capable. If we all waited till we thought we were capable, we wouldn't do anything. The real question is, are you available? God will take you right now in your situation, use you right now if you'll be available to Him. Don't wait. Each day is a gift. Unwrap it. Live it for the Lord. The Bible is also urgent about salvation. The Bible says today, right now, is the day of salvation. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you've never gotten saved, you've never been born again, tonight is the night for you. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't say, I'll give my life to Christ after school. I'll give my life to Christ after I retire. I'll give my life to Christ on my deathbed. What makes you think you're going to have the luxury of a deathbed? And if you do have a deathbed, what makes you think you'll be functional? Right now, while you can think, right now, while it's called today, the Scripture says, come to Him. Today is the day of salvation. And today, my Christian brother and sister in Christ, is the day to serve Him. Right now. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank You so much that You actually desire to use us. Lord, that You desire to take our lives, forgive our sins, give us so many blessings, and then, Lord, You desire to use us so that You can bless other people. Lord, may we be available right now. I want to pray for anyone here tonight who has put their walk with You on hold. If you're here tonight and you have put your walk with the Lord on hold for whatever reason, I want to invite you tonight to commit to the Lord, rededicate your life to the Lord and say you will follow Him wholeheartedly right now, today. Don't wait another day. Single person, I would challenge you tonight to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart right now, today. It's no greater blessing, my friend. And by the way, there's no greater adventure in life than serving Christ daily. If that's you, I want to lead you in a word of prayer right now, a prayer of rededication. You just rededicate your heart to the Lord right now. Say, Lord, I'm coming back to You tonight fully. I give my heart to You afresh tonight. I give You my life afresh tonight. I come back to You. Take front and center in my life. Be first place. Forgive me for my backsliding. I repent and I come to You. And then I would also like to pray for anyone here tonight who needs to give their heart to Christ for the first time. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to have your sins forgiven and you need to have Jesus as your Savior, I would ask you to just follow me in this prayer. Say it silently in your heart. Give your heart to Christ right now. Say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Forgive me of my sins. I'm not waiting another day. I receive right now the free gift of salvation.
Make me born again. Change me. Help me to live my life following you. In Jesus' name, amen.